beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, along with my co-host, Minister Robert Walker, Minister David Clifton, and our historian, Minister Ryan Fountain. Good for us to be here. We thank God. Another opportunity to look into the perfect law of liberty, as James called it, and that is the word of the Lord. Looking into the mirror, want to make sure that we write. Want to make sure that we find something, if we look in the mirror, that we can pay attention to it, and if it's not right, to get it right. And my food for thought is Psalm 27. This is the Psalm of David. As he starts off, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In the form of a question. But he goes on down here. Verse 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And also, along with that, Isaiah 40 and 31, the writer says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is my food for thought.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I actually want to read two scriptures this evening. Genesis, chapter number 5, verse number 23 and 24 reads, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then we can pick that thought up in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 5, where it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Ladies and gentlemen, Enoch is a type of the rapture of the church. We know that Enoch, this translation, took forth before God flooded the earth in the days of Noah. This is a type, as the Old Testament is full of types and shadows. The church will be raptured out of the earth before the tribulation. That is a hope that we should be looking for. And although the saints of God has been saying this for many, many years, the Bible and Peter says that the Lord is not slack concerning his coming, as some count slackness. So he is coming back. He is going to rapture his church out of here before those 7 years of tribulation, and that is something that we should look forward to. Amen?
Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. This is Brother Walker. It's good to be back.
Amen.
My food for thought is coming from Romans chapter number 8. And for the shortness of time, I would read 8 through 13, but because of the shortness of time, I'm only going to read 11, 12, and 13. And it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Ghost, or if we do have the Holy Ghost, we don't have a license to sin.
Come on.
We are to mortify the deeds of our bodies. Now, I know at times it can be quite difficult, but it is possible through the Holy Ghost to, in fact, mortify the deeds of our bodies, and we just can't go out and do anything we want to do and pretend like we are saved. We need to glorify God even in our bodies.
Amen. And just like he said, even further, some of the preceding verses in the Bible, the 8th chapter of Romans, he said, "There's no, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit."
Right.
"So for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Here's the key. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh.
Right.
God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so even in the day that we're living in, people are looking for excuses,
right,
to do the things that they're doing.
Right.
There's a war going on in our members.
Right.
That's what Apostle Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans.
Right.
But just because it could come to your mind to slap somebody over, but you don't do it, you got the victory.
That's right.
So that's why James says, he said, that let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Right.
So you got the victory. All you got to do is keep the victory.
Right.
So we thank God for his word, and that we're able to, like we said, look into the perfect law or liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is the word of the Lord. We have been going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're about in the, we left off last week. We're in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and about halfway through this letter here, the 29th verse, where he was saying that you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So it's just so funny. People are just looking for excuses.
Right.
No, yeah, we're, Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, I believe, that for by grace are ye saved through faith.
Right.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it is grace. It's the grace of God. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that's no license to sin. God, it doesn't change. He's still requiring people to live righteous or to live holy. And you can't live holy unless you have the Holy Ghost. So you can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. Even our righteousness is not going to do it. But you got to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is by faith. So we're not, if you truly want to serve God, you want to see his face in peace, you're not looking for an excuse to sin. People are just making so many excuses. They want to do what they want and confess in their secret closet. And there's no such thing. You got to come clean. You got to confess and forsake. You will have God's mercy. You just can't do what you want. You're going on into the through the pearly gates anyway. It doesn't work that way. So we're going to continue on. Our historian, Minister Ryan Fountain, I believe we left off. You read that letter in the 29th verse.
Amen.
The 15th chapter.
Yes, and we that is where we left off. We just left off where James and Barnabas were brought before the council. They had to prove their case that the Gentiles did not have to live under the law as the Jews had. And James saw this to be so. James did not teach this in his church. The men that went out from him taught these things. So it was not a church-taught thing. This was out of a man's mind. Men's minds, that the Gentiles had to live under the law and get circumcised just as the Jews did. But Paul and Barnabas disputed this doctrine and brought it before James, and James wrote letters saying that the Gentiles did not have to live under the law, but that they should abstain from the pollutions of idols,
drinking blood, fornication, and such things, to stay away from them, to live holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now in the 30th verse, after, this is after the letter, it was read off, and they go back to Antioch, as we see. So they went, so they were dismissed, and they came to Antioch, and when they gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, and when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. So it's good when brethren get together in unity. Well, they had to unify themselves, and they did not leave Jerusalem until the doctrine and the church was unified on this matter.
Uh-huh. Yes. I want to say one thing. I forgot. The guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. And if you want to call in, you want to call us and you want to ask us a question or if you have a comment, 646-716-6566.
Amen. And we encourage you to call in at any point during the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, it says that in verse 32 that Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. We have to note here that Judas and Silas were prophets. What is a New Testament? What is the difference between a New Testament prophet and an Old Testament prophet? A New Testament prophet is simply a preacher, one that confirms the scriptures and speaks of God's mind through these scriptures.
Right.
Whereas the Old Testament prophet had to, not only did they have the scriptures to look from, because we know Daniel and Jeremiah looked at the scrolls and looked at the scriptures to get God's mind, but God directly spoke to them and had them do various things, because that's how God spoke to the fathers. If we look at Hebrews, the first chapter, very first verse, it says, God, who at sundried times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So
yes,
these men spoke in that word sundry and diverse, this means different.
Right.
So there was different ways and various ways that God spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. One instance, Isaiah had to strip down. It says he was naked, but we know that Jewish custom that if you take off your overcoat and walk through the streets, you're considered naked. So it wasn't anything vulgar that he was doing, but he walked through the streets naked and had to lie on one side for 40 days and lie on the other side for, I believe it was 200 days or so, and had to eat a certain type of bread. That was actually Ezekiel did that. But we know that there was different ways that God spoke unto the fathers and showed signs and wonders through them.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen.
We know Elijah brought fire down from heaven. Now, this things like that were done in the New Testament, but a New Testament prophet was very different from an Old Testament prophet. And a lot of times these days, these preachers want to call themselves prophets and take their reference from Old Testament prophets rather than New Testament prophets.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen.
I think there's something else that has to be brought out here, and that is that we're not going to, because you hear people say it today, we're going to agree to disagree.
Yes.
And there's no room in the scriptures to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
You believe it this way, I believe it this way, somebody's wrong, because the Word of God is not going to allow you to agree to disagree.
Yes.
Right. Only agreeing is in at the deacon board in the 18th chapter of Matthew. They're solving a matter.
Yes.
Because you hear people say that all the time. Get somebody to agree. No. Ain't no, I'm agree with you that you're in the will of God. No. They're going to agree that they're going to settle that matter that they're talking about.
Right.
That's
and,
what he's talking about.
And,
two of you shall gather together in my name. There am I in the midst. I'm going to make sure it's going to be resolved.
It's going to be
the
resolved.
Previous
it's going to be confirmed.
Yes. Not you going and lay your hands on what you want. And we're going to agree that I get it. No.
Or it's not going to be, I agree this way, you agree this way,
no.
And we're just going to apart, we're going to depart from one another, but you still believe what you believe, and I still believe what I believe.
And you have to know that if you are, especially if you're talking about somebody that's in the body of Christ,
yes,
you have to be walking together with them.
Yes, yes.
And I believe it's the book of Amos where he says that how can two walk together unless they agree?
Right.
So you have to agree. You have to come to the same mindset. That's what happened in the 15th chapter, that there was two different doctrines, two different minds that were going on here, and they had to come together and come on one accord.
Right.
And see, I mean, if you have the same Holy Ghost that I have, then somewhere we're going to agree.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And God isn't one that authors confuse.
No,
God,
he's not.
God does not bring a bunch of different doctrines that some people believe. There's different customs in different areas, but it's all the same doctrine.
Yes,
you have to believe the same thing.
Right.
There's no little points of doctrine that are different. It may be a custom that you do in your church that may be different, but not the doctrine.
But
the,
not
doctrine
the doctrine
has to stay.
The doctrine, has to,
doctrine
stay.
Has to be the stable thing in your church.
Right. And these things are done away in Christ. Meats and drinks and divers washings and all these things were done away when he offered himself, you know, without spot to God.
Right.
You see, in the 40th chapter of the Psalms, he said, I come in the volume of a book that is written of me to do thy will.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Hebrew writer in the 10th chapter gives witness to the same thing that he's saying.
Yes.
So nowadays, people are trying to act like they're Elijah. Bring me a cake first. Bringing you nothing. we pay our tithe and offering.
Uh-huh. Right.
We put God first.
Right.
You know, folks are exalting themselves to be so important. No, you're important if you're the leader in the local assembly. I grant you that, but you're not more important than Jesus. And that's what people are doing. They're making themselves more important than Jesus.
Amen.
And I think it's also good just to put this in there. This problem that they had, this was disputed among the brethren, among the saints, amongst the churches.
Yes.
So they came together to get this matter settled.
Yes.
And then it's little bitty words that we look over. If we reference back to this story in the 30th verse, it says, and when they dismissed and came to Antioch, when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the what?
The epistle.
Yes.
So that means that they not only saw this matter, but they wrote it down to distribute to the rest of their brethren so that they could have this matter, if you will, on paper.
On paper.
Yes. If we know what an epistle is, this was written to the church.
Right.
So then when we get out of the book of Acts, which we will do, we're going to begin to read what?
The epistle. Yes.
Right.
Those were addressed to the church.
To the church.
So a lot of people have a problem with us when we say that the epistles are written to the church.
Yes.
It's the children's food, as we say.
Yes.
And those that are living in sin, they can't go in there and take these things out and apply it to their own lives.
To their own lives.
If you get an understanding of what the epistles are, then you can understand what we're talking about when we say those type of things. Amen.
Very good.
And if you ain't talk to the Spirit, if you don't have the mind of the Spirit, you can't read the epistles and get right division out of them.
Amen.
Right.
You have to be revelated by God to look through these epistles, because the epistles are for saved people.
Right.
For people that have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you try to read those without the Holy Ghost, you wrestle them unto destruction if you're not using the Spirit.
Right.
Amen.
Go ahead. I was going to say the answer, like what he was saying as you go on. I didn't want to jump ahead. But verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and with many others also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all confirmed.
Yes.
Just like it said, that Scripture will support Scripture.
Scripture.
Holy Ghost, not fighting against the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Holy Ghost, exactly.
Okay. So having that said, we know that, once again, that New Testament prophets and Old Testament prophets are not the same thing. There's a different order that was set within the church for the prophet. So moving on to verse 33, it says, and after they had tarried their space, they were let go into peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So Judas went back to James, but Silas stayed with Paul. And Silas is going to be a major character coming up in the next few chapters.
Yeah.
Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, as with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is the fruition, this is the start of the second missionary journey that Paul will go on. But now we see a dispute arise between Paul and Barnabas. And some days, verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Now, we don't know the reason why Paul didn't want to take Mark with him, why Mark left the journey the first time.
Right.
We don't know. It's not said in the scriptures. It may be something where he felt he needed to go back home for whatever the reason. But now Barnabas and Mark didn't stop doing work. They went to Cyprus. They went to the churches in Cyprus.
Right.
So now Paul didn't go to Cyprus. He went through the mainland because we read that Cyprus was their first stop on the first missionary journey. So now it went two different directions, but still they was doing the same work. It was just Paul decided to take other brethren along with them rather than Mark, who he felt was not profitable at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he felt that Mark was profitable later on in his life.
Yeah.
I believe it was in the letter to Titus. He told him to bring Marcus unto me because he's profitable for my ministry.
Right.
But at that time, Paul did not feel it was profitable. So now this is about a year after they were in the council in the 15th chapter. They begin on this second missionary journey. So now this Paul's going to choose Silas to take with him. This journey lasted about 3 to 4 years, and they traveled a distance of 3,500 miles. Now, that's a long way. They traveled all the way to Greece in this journey and established many churches. This was actually one of the more successful missionary journeys, establishing new churches. So, as we move on to verse 40, it says, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So now, Barnabas went to Cyprus, confirming those churches. Paul went through Syria and Cilicia, which is Asia Minor, and confirming those churches. In 16th chapter, first verse, it says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So this is where he meets Timothy. This is
right.
This is the recipient of 1st and 2nd Timothy,
right,
written by Paul. This man was indeed very much like Paul because he was had Greek heritage, but yet he was a Jew. So, and Paul was indeed a Greek, he was actually a Roman citizen, so he had Gentile heritage, but he was still a Jew. So he had understanding of both sides of the fence, so to speak. He knew about Jewish customs, and we know that Timothy, Paul said that you've known the scriptures from a little boy.
Right.
His mother taught him that. His grandmother taught him.
Right.
But he still knew about Greek customs and how to go in unto the Gentiles. So he was very key. Timothy was a very key character in the early church. Paul sent him unto the Corinthians. Paul sent him places. He sent him unto Ephesus to be a bishop there, to lead those churches. And so Paul thought very highly of this young man to lead churches. Amen?
Amen.
And he brought him along with him. So, reading on, it says, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So, again, this is prejudice at work here, that Jews did not want to accept a brother, even though, and it's not talking necessarily about regular Jews. These are also believing Jews, don't always accept those. And we have it in this day, more along the white and black line, that many white brethren don't receive our black brethren, and vice versa. And it should not be so, because there's no color in God. I think we've talked about that before. There's no color in God. There's no color lines in God. We are all one in Christ.
Came to save souls.
Amen.
Not skin.
Yes.
Right.
So, moving on. So, but to be in compliance and to not offend any brothers, I believe he said in Romans, just partake with them so you do not offend them. I believe it's the 14th, 15th chapter of Romans. If a brother does not eat a certain meat,
don't eat that meat.
So you won't offend him.
Right.
So he did this not because they necessarily felt that it was necessary, but they did it so they wouldn't offend others, and which would hinder the gospel. So that's why he got him circumcised. In the fourth verse, it says, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia and essayed to go in by Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So the Holy Ghost will lead you in certain directions. You may want to go a certain way. They wanted to go a certain way, but the Holy Ghost would not let them go. But the Holy Ghost has a reason. God has a reason for everything that he does. And the scripture in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, comes to mind. God had them, because if they had went the way that they were going, they would never have came to Thyatira. Mm-hmm. And Lydia would never have been saved. So, moving on, it says, they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. See, there was help that was needed in Macedonia.
Yes.
That's why he did not want them to go into Galatia. Now, Paul wrote unto the Galatians, and there were churches definitely established in Galatia, but this was not the time to go into Galatia for Paul. And reading on in the 10th verse, it says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, you see, you got to pay attention to little words. Before it was saying he, referring to Paul, and they, referring to his group, but now it's switched to we and us. Who's the we and us there? That means that they picked up Luke along the way in this, because we know that Luke, we established that Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. So Luke is right along with them going into Macedonia. So somewhere in there they picked up Luke and brought him into the faith, because Luke is definitely a Gentile, but he was saved under Paul's ministry. Reading on in verse 11, it says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things of which were spoken of Paul. Now, this woman worshiped God, but she did not have the full truth.
Right.
So she had to hear Paul's ministry. So there was people that were actually hungry and wanted knowledge of the Lord, and this was Paul's purpose, to bring knowledge unto them, to bring them into the truth. 15th verse, and says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So this woman was baptized. We know Paul's doctrine was that he preached repentance. He preached baptism in Jesus' name, and he helped people to receive the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, was she doing this? Was she saying a true thing?
Yeah.
She was saying a true thing, but she was speaking out of a soothsayer's mind. She was doing it in mocking.
Right.
And this woman, this is what these people do. That many times they say true things, and I'm speaking of people that call themselves prophets, quote unquote, but really they are soothsayers, because they're telling your future, they're telling your past, they're telling all these things that are going to happen. They speak of different blessings that you may have, and they're really trying to get money.
Right.
Because she brought much gain to the people that owned her. Reading on, it says, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hopes of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Now, the marketplace is a place where the wise men gather. We'll see another instance of the marketplace in the 17th chapter when he goes to Athens. That is where all the great scholarly minds would gather, and it was more just a place to buy and sell things. It was a place to gain knowledge, and a place where everyone gathered to learn new doctrines and to hear the law spoken, the laws of the city spoken. And so they were really being brought to the marketplace for Paul and Silas here. They were brought before judges.
Mm-hmm.
They were judged. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So now these men, before, they didn't care about what Paul and Silas were saying. They could care less.
Right.
But once they started messing with their money, now it's a problem.
Yeah.
And again, that's with a lot of preachers today, that they don't really care that we're speaking against them. But when you stop them from getting money,
uh-huh,
that's when they're going to come to attack you.
Yeah.
That's when they get mad. They don't care about anything else that's being said. They don't care about anything else that is fighting against them, as long as they're making money.
Right.
And so the way to fight against those men is to stop giving them money.
Stop giving them money. And oppose them, or stop them, if you will, if they are proper lying, as we like to say. They got mad because there was money in the mouth of this prophet, if you will, right? This woman was speaking those things, so that was their bread and butter, if you will. That's how they brought home the bacon. by this woman going through town and speaking into people's futures. So as Minister Fountain had first said, this is what is going on in the churches nowadays. You have a lot of these men bringing in these well-known, as they carry themselves, prophets, and then they have these blessing lines. They got a $100 line and a $150 line. And
sowing seed.
If you sow a seed, you drop your money in the bucket, and then they will prophesy unto you. But I guess if I don't have that $100, then I can't receive a prophecy. I would like to know what's the difference between that and me getting on the phone line and calling up. I know she's not around anymore, but we all remember Miss Cleo.
Right.
She had the spirit of divination. So as Minister Fountain was saying, these men had really no problem with Paul and Silas as they were preaching. But once he put a stop to their flow of money, then they got upset.
Yeah, and that's the way you stop them. You have to rebuke spirit that is leading them and stop giving them money,
right,
and stop bringing money in unto them. That's how this false doctrine is stopped.
Right, and just like even in our country, they keep talking about illegal immigrants. One way to stop illegal immigrants is to stop these employers that are hiring them.
Amen.
That's how if you're not coming over here to get a job, you're not going to get one. If they do the right thing, then they're not going to keep coming over here. You're going to be legal. Yeah.
That is right.
So you got to come right with the word. So these people lying to people, and I've seen things go on. They say it's absolutely free. And, you know, what they should say, there's no admission charge. Because when you get in there, they're going to beg.
It's the truth.
Yeah. They're going to beg, and make you feel bad. So there's just too many gimmicks that are going on with people. They would just tell the truth. So just like you said, these men were mad because they made much gain, and they saw that they're by soothsaying. So when he cast that spirit out, and that was the end of that. So devil hate to lose people, and that's why he's mad, you know, because Jesus is tearing his kingdom down.
Yes. So moving on, and it says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So now they weren't just in the regular prison. They were in what would be considered maximum security
right.
in this day. They were in the place where that there's only one way in and one way out of there. And that way out was through the jailer. So reading on in verse 24, verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. But the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And that's a miracle within itself,
yeah,
that everyone got loose from prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Minister Clifton, you work in the jail system.
Right.
And I know you deal with a lot of prisoners all day. Now, if any prisoner had their door open and their shackles loose, do you think they'd stay in the prison?
It's going to be an empty jail.
No. So, but Paul knew that he was not a criminal, and that God would bring him a justification,
mm-hmm,
and bring him to a place where he would be shown righteous. And so Paul said, "Cry with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So now, those that believe in right-hand confession will stop right there reading that verse. But if you just simply read on to the next verse, that is not what Paul said, because we have to understand, why was this man asking this? What must I do to be saved? Saved from what? He wasn't concerned about his soul at this point, because he had no idea about salvation in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
This man was trying to be saved because he had a charge.
Right.
He had a charge laid on him that he'd keep the prisoner safely.
Right.
So now, if he is brought before the magistrates and shown that he did not keep these prisoners safely, he was going to get killed. So, and he was, in fact, going to kill himself, because he knew that he was going to die, and it wasn't going to be as quick a death as he would with suicide. But now, he's asking Paul, like, how can I get out of this? How can I be saved from this disaster that is commenced in this,
right.
in this prison tonight?
Right.
And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how can you believe if you've never heard of Jesus Christ? This
right.
man has never heard of Jesus Christ
right.
whatsoever.
Right.
He's a Gentile. He's a Roman. How can he believe on Jesus Christ whom you've never heard? So now, if we simply read down in the next verse, it says, And they spake unto him the word of the Lord
right.
and to all that were in his house.
Right.
This is where the preaching happens.
Yeah.
This is how they end up believing on Jesus Christ, is that they have to have the word preached unto them.
Right.
And you have to have the word preached unto you by preachers that are sent.
Right.
And Paul and Silas were sent. So now, what happens after they preached unto them? They believed on Jesus Christ. And what did they do when they believed on Jesus Christ? Well, simply read the next verse. It says,
right.
in verse 33, it says, And he took them the same hour of the night, not on the third Sunday, not on the fourth Sunday,
right.
not whenever you gathered enough people together.
Right.
They went in the same night. This is after midnight, mind you.
Yeah.
This is in the middle of the night when everyone else is asleep. That same night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house, all his straightway.
Right.
And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, Let those men go. So now, Paul and Silas being jailed, They have a purpose to being in that jail. They have, and that was to get this man saved. So there's a purpose for every persecution that you go through.
Right.
And you might come out on the other side with souls being saved, and a church being, in this case, a church being established within this man's house. So, reading on, it says in verse 36, And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, They have beat us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. So now, Paul gives a very key insight unto his heritage, that he is a Roman.
Right.
He is a Roman citizen. And to do an injustice to a Roman citizen was a very big charge, a very big deal in that day.
Yes.
You can't just cast him into a prison and treat him any sort of way if you were a citizen. Now, there were those that lived in the auspice of, or the, under the crown of Caesar, but they were not citizens, they were servants. To be a citizen, you actually were part of Roman society. You were considered part of Roman society, and it was a very big deal in that day. In this day, using an example, to be a U.S. citizen is a very big deal to those that are from Latin America, because that they are able to get a whole lot more rights and a lot more privileges being a citizen rather than being an illegal alien, as we call them. To be illegal in this country, you have to be very cautious, and you have to abide under a different set of rules. Because if you don't abide under those rules and you don't keep your identity hidden, you'll be sent back to where you came from, or you can be
deported,
or you can be imprisoned for as long as they feel fit. If you are considered a threat to their to this nation, so Paul revealed unto them that he is a Roman citizen, and that you openly beat a Roman citizen. Now, if I come out with this, why didn't Paul come out with this before? Because we know that this God's purpose was to get this jailer saved, that he was a believing heart.
Right.
But now they wanted to sneak them out of the city, wanting to let them go because they know they didn't do any wrong. Paul and Silas didn't do anything wrong. They just stopped the money flow.
Right.
And it wasn't anything illegal. He just cast out a spirit. And what sort of court will that hold up in?
Right.
So, reading on in verse 38, and the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and departed. So there was two sets of churches, two households that were established within within this area, that of Lydia and also of the Philippian jailer. We know that Luke did a work within Philippi, that he was sent there and left there to do work in that city, and Paul and Silas moved on, because if you keep reading on, that Paul did not move with everyone else after this, did not move with Luke, I should say. And then he again departed off and went on to Athens by himself. We will read that going into the 17th chapter. We can start on that today, and we might not get through all of that today. Reading on in 17:1, it said, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came into Thessalonica, which was a synagogue, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs to have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." So Paul went into the synagogues. This is really missionary work. This is real evangelistic work. He went into the synagogues and reasoned with them 3 days out of Scriptures. He didn't go into any churches, one, because there was no churches there. But many of our evangelists nowadays go into churches preaching unto already saved people. That's not the purpose of an evangelist.
Right.
The evangelist was to go to do evangelistic work and to bring new souls into the kingdom. This is the evangelistic work that Paul was doing. And there was some that believed out of the Jews, but many believed out of the Greeks, because Paul was sent mainly unto the Gentiles. So,
I mean, and the fact of the matter is, it can still happen today, because there are people, even in the United States of America, who may never have heard of the gospel.
Right. Amen.
And so, I mean, people are evangelizing in churches, with people that's already saved, but there are people out there that still need to hear the gospel.
Right.
And so there's work that still needs to be done.
Yes, because you figure after this Constantine changed that, and Catholicism and all of these other isms and all came in, the real gospel
right.
has been tainted.
Right.
Some people don't really, everybody say they believe in Jesus, you know, but they got a thing. What they say is God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
The question is, who is God? That's what people don't, they don't get. And that's why Paul said, this Jesus whom we preach unto you is Christ. He's
yes.
the anointed one. He's the one that was written in the scriptures about his coming. And that's what people are not taking a hold to and not believing about the real, the true and the living God, the Jehovah of the new, of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the new.
Yes.
Because after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. So he, you know, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They don't want to believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
I mean, it goes back to what was already read in 16 and 14. This
yes.
lady, she worshiped God.
Yes.
But when she heard the truth.
Yes.
There are people worshiping God today.
Yes.
But when that truth comes.
Yes.
You have to be real careful now. Because God will hold you accountable
mm-hmm.
when that truth comes.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, there are people out there that say, I'm worshiping God, but still they have not been exposed to truth.
Right.
And so there's a lot of work that still needs to be done.
Right, and that's why he told the woman at the well, you worship, you know not. You know, salvation
right.
is of the Jews.
Yeah,
he
right.
said, you know,
right.
God is a spirit, and they that worship in, you know, him must worship him in spirit
and
in truth.
Truth. Yeah.
So that's what you got to do is you got to come on.
Amen.
Into the truth.
Amen.
Yeah,
into the truth. That's a good word right there. Moving on, it says, in chief women, not a few. Fifth verse, it says, but the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, it seems funny that these people, it says they took unto them certain fellows of the baser sort. These were real people out of the gutter. These were
mm-hmm.
really grimy people, people that they normally would not even talk to. They wouldn't even acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Paul and Silas were establishing a work in this city, they were envious. Because they weren't getting the same attention that Paul and Silas were getting with,
yeah.
with this doctrine, so they created some mess,
yeah.
created separation, created chaos.
Right.
Well, it's amazing when people hear the truth, they become quite angry.
Yes,
folks become very angry.
Yes,
and
what. What edification are you going to get from creating chaos? Like, how is that really proving that you're right?
Right.
Because you right. can't prove them wrong, so what you do is you try to sabotage
yes.
somebody else. And how does that show you to be righteous? How does that show you to be a God-fearing person? Because these Jews believed that they were God-fearing, that they were saved.
Yes.
And how is that godly? Would God want you to sabotage somebody and try to take somebody and try to Jason and his house were assaulted. They
right.
sent these men into the place to break up and try to do harm
mm-hmm.
to somebody else.
And the fact of the matter is today, it's not always a physical harm. You can assassinate someone's character
yes.
and do them much harm.
Exactly. Exactly, and the groups such as the Ku Klux Klan, they believe themselves to be godly, but is what they do godly to preach hate and to preach that sort of thing? Islam believes themselves to be godly, but they are a violent group of people. Many of them are very violent, and the jihadists that want to blow themselves up and declare war on the Western world by going into marketplaces and blowing up innocent people, going on the buses and blowing up innocent people. How is that godly?
That's not godly.
And again, that's a physical harm.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, though, I don't agree with you, so I talk about you to other individuals.
Exactly.
How is that godly?
Exactly.
It's still assassination to some degree.
Right. And then, you know, just like abortion, these people, I told somebody, I said, I don't agree with it either. But I'm not going to go lay down and at the door of an abortion clinic. I don't have to give an account for that.
And even with immigration, with all those sorts of different things, all these political matters that go on in this country, why we should not be involved in these things, being in the church and throwing harmful words at the other side, at the right or the left, who is right and who is wrong. God is right.
God is right, exactly.
God is the one that
right.
that has truth. And if you abide in that truth, it doesn't matter what anybody else says and what everybody else, how anybody else feels. God is going to be right in the end.
Right.
And you should be following after God.
That's our stand. Our stand is the word of God.
Right. And well, like he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Right.
So we're not supposed to be trying to pay nobody back.
And there will be a time for that vengeance to take place. There
yes.
will be a time.
Yes.
And that time is coming soon,
yes.
but it's not now.
Right.
It's not now. Exactly right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we can finish this off real quick. And it says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying that these men turn the world upside down and are come hither also, whom Jason have received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Now they supposedly didn't believe that Caesar was king, that God is their king. They believe that God is their ruler, but now they switch just as the Jews did on Jesus, and declaring that he is claiming to be another king, and that we have no other king but Caesar. So now they are, in essence, blaspheming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
To take another king that is not of Jewish heritage, that is not God, and put a Gentile king over them, that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
And God that's one of the Ten Commandments, is do not commit any blasphemy, love no other God besides myself. Because
right.
when you make a king, you're making him a god.
Right.
Caesar considered himself a god.
God, yes.
Pharaoh considered himself a god.
Yes.
And so when you put another man ahead of God, you are indeed worshiping after him. And I think we're going to have to close on this thought, that these men committed blasphemy, and that many times, to prove their point and to make themselves look righteous, they indeed make themselves look unrighteous in the eyes of God, and trying to undermine what Paul and Silas were teaching in the city. These men tried to take away power from God, but there is no taking away power from God. Now we will close.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. Hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.